Before we go to the Word of God, let's go to God in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come and seek your face and call upon your name. God, we ask you, come visit us with a visitation of your Spirit. Have your way and your will. God, as many, Lord, folks are struggling, need a touch from you, let them receive that. God, let men receive salvation, healing, and the blessings of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. I want to look in the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. We find some instructions here. In verse 13 of Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 13, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Verse 14 says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And then God goes down in the 21st verse, and he really puts a message to us, and he says, not everyone that said, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now, in searching the book many, many years ago, when I read this section of Scripture, it got a hold of me. Because here's what many of them is going to say. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have we not cast out devils? In thy name done many wondrous works. And then I will confess unto them, I never knew ye. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Now, God, even in this category, he includes men that preach, cast out devils, do wonderful works in his name. And we've got to come to an understanding that the word has this power by itself. A lot of folks don't understand this. But a drunk can get up and preach the word or speak the word, and a sinner can hear the word and be saved. They're not getting saved because the drunk was preaching it. They're getting saved because the word is the word. God will honor his word no matter where it comes from. The word has an anointing and has been forevermore settled to heaven, and the word has an anointing that's going to carry down through the eons of time to all men that receive the word and hear the word can be saved. There are men that have been saved under preachers that wouldn't even write with God. You say, well, how can that be so? Word said it, because the anointing of the word. And I heard a man say that, you know, he went to a meeting one time, and the guy had a healing meeting, and he went there with somebody that got totally healed. He knew they got healed. And he gave an offering, and the man that was the preacher, when he got through taking up the offering, he said a few choice cuss words and said, now I've got you blank, blank money, and just went off the deep end. And he said he even stopped money, the money he'd written in a check, he stopped payment on it, and the preacher called and cussed him out. And but the person that went with him and he took the meeting, got the healing, it was a real healing. And he said to me, he said, Brother Goat, how can this be? I said, Matthew 7, 21 and 22. God said they do mighty works in my name. They could do all these things. They can cast out devils. They can do all these things. But simply they themselves, if they do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if they have not found the way, then they themselves are lost. And this is R.W. Schambach, a good friend of mine. We've worked several great crusades together back in years ago, and a powerful man of God, at one time one of the most powerful anointed preachers, I guess, in America, and a deliverance preacher. He said one time he remembered going in a motel room where he was doing a crusade, and he said the Lord spoke to him, and he fell down before his face, and God revealed this section of Scripture to him. And God showed him. And God told him, he said, you will go to my heaven because you have an experience with me. Because you have been born again by my spirit and you're right with me. He said, all the gifts, all the miracles, all the things you see in your crusade, those are mine. They're anointed by me. And the Bible says he works the gifts of the Holy Ghost in his church as he wills, as he chooses. And I've seen God a lot of time use people that wasn't exactly right because nobody else would do what needed to be done. And God wasn't really using them. He was using his word through them. But we need to be right with God. We need to know that by the power of God Almighty that we are right with him. Because he said that way there's few be that find it. And I'm seeing more and more as I live. I got saved May the 14th, 1959. Back in those days, people had a fear for God. Even a sinner feared God. This day and time, people do not have no fear. They don't have no respect. If you don't have no fear, you have no respect. You know, they both tie hand in hand. People literally have no fear or respect for God. The Bible tells us that the fear of God, the fear of God, that begins the wisdom and the knowledge. You've got to have that. I told someone the other day, I said, you know, you stand in a place a lot of time, if you can't get respect from somebody, you have to demand it. And that's hard. We like to think that people want to serve God. We like to think that people want to respect the things of God. But a lot of time they don't, and when they don't, you have to demand it. You know, you have to say, this is a God-fearing operation. We go by the standards of God. We go by the book. You know, I've watched people. I've watched people with their seem right ways. God says it plainly in Proverbs in the 14th chapter, there is a way which seemeth right to man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. I'm convinced that you can live any way you want to, and the devil can come, and the devil can convince you you are right. And that's what's going on in the world today. The majority of the people that are in a seem right way, they think they are right. They think that everything's fine. They think that everything's rosy. I asked a gentleman yesterday, and he told me his life was about to be snapped out from under him. He knows his day is short. And I said to him, I said, sir, the main thing is you need to be right with God. You need to make peace. Oh, I've already made peace with God. Somebody spoke up and said, you need to be born again. He had a peace with God, but he didn't want to hear about being born again. You can't make peace with God outside of being born again. You can live in a seem right way and die and bust hell wide open. God written the book. God set the standard. And his standard is we must be born again by his Spirit, and we're born again by his Spirit. There'll be a witness of the Spirit. And we'll start changing. And we'll turn loose of the things that are contrary to God. Not everyone that said, Lord, Lord, shall enter in, but he that do the will of my Father. When I studied out that scripture, it simply said the will of the Father was to become full of all the fullness of God. All the fullness of God. Till it's running over, till you're bubbling over with the presence of God. But we're living in a world that people try to see how far they can live from Calvary. They seem to see how much they can get by with. I see people that tell me, well, I don't see any need to go to church. I've got God in my own way. That way might be a seem right way. For see, he said, forsake not the assembling together of the saints. You may not be able to make it every Sunday. You may not be able to go every week. But I'm going to tell you something. If in your life you have decided you don't need the fellowships of the saints of God, you're contrary to God. If you've come up with an attitude, I'm just as religious standing home as I am going to church, that's a lie according to God's word. That's the seem right way. You know, I hear so many people say, well, Brother Goode, I'd go to church, but it's full of hypocrites. I said, well, come on, one more sure ain't going to hurt nothing. Amen. And I've had people say, yeah, I'd go to church, but all it always is hypocrites. I said, do you don't like a hypocrite? Oh, no, Brother Goode, I don't like hypocrites. I said, well, you're getting ready to spend eternity with them if you don't get yourself above them. That's hard, but that's fact. Because all the unrighteous is going to be turned into hell. All that forget God are going to be turned into hell. All that live and walk in a seem right way. See, God tells us that if we, he plainly says in chapter 15 of Proverbs verse 9, the way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord. But he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. See, it pleases God when we follow after the righteousness of God. He tells us in verse 16, commit thy ways unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. There's a lot of folks running around trying to get established, and they can't get it to work out because they won't commit their ways to God. If you begin to seek God, he said, call upon me. We've got to seek God while he is present. We've got to seek God while he's available. And I believe there's a time in our life that God calls us. The Bible said the day is the day of salvation. I believe there's a time that God calls us into his marvelous grace and his light, and he calls for us to respond. And the danger is if we don't respond when he's calling, as that simply we may not get another call. This is the day of salvation. Those that are listening to me, wherever you may be today, understand this. If God is dealing with your heart, your soul, and your spirit at this moment, this is the moment you need to respond. Don't put it off. Don't make an excuse. Don't continue on in a seem right way. And I'm convinced right here in that county that I live in, the majority of the preachers here are in seem right ways. Great deal of the churches are in seem right ways. They have convinced themselves that they can live any way they want to. They can do anything they want to. Long as they have their name on the church roll, long as they're a church member, everything's all right. Church membership will not get you to heaven. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ. It takes being saved and born again and washed whiter than snow by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not church membership, not shaking the preacher's hand. But it takes that commitment unto God and him renewing his spirit in you. And being born again, the old man's cast out, the old nature's gone. You don't want the world anymore. You don't want anything out of the world. You just want the love of God and you want the grace of God. Amen. God makes it real, real plain. Even the point in that same chapter, verse 16, chapter 16, verse 7, it says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. You know, the Bible says over in the New Testament, if a man sinneth not, the wicked one cannot touch him. We build a shield and a hedge around us when we go in God. When we're born again by the Spirit of God, we build that hedge that Job had. Satan, when he boo-hooed and cried, God, you know, God said, if you consider my servant Job, and Satan said, sure have, but I can't get to him. I can't reach him. He's got a hedge. Why? The Bible said Job was a man that was upright before the Lord. He was a man that eschewed evil. He stayed away from it. He left it alone. The Bible tells us that Job sought out to do the will and the purpose of God, and there's a hedge was built around him, and the wicked one couldn't touch him. The wicked one couldn't get to him. And that's what God says here. He said, you know, if your ways please the Lord, if your life is pleasing in the Lord, what's some of the ways that we can please the Lord? First of all, we have to prefer others before ourselves. See, most time in this life, most men and most women are living in that attitude, I'm going to get what I get, and I could care less whether the next man gets his or not, but I'm going to get mine first. Well, see, that's not the way of the Lord. But the way of the Lord is we give respect unto others. We be a giver, not a taker. I've watched people all my life that are takers, and they wind up with nothing. And I've watched the ones that are givers, and they always come out on top. So which you want to be today? You want to be a taker or a giver? You want to please the Lord or you want or don't want to please the Lord? He said, if you please him, he's going to make your enemies to be at peace. He's going to build that hedge around you. Satan, he tried, but he couldn't get through the hedge. And he told God, he said, if you'll drop that hedge, I'll make him curse your name. God had faith in Job. We got to have faith in God. But here's a story of a man that, because he was upright, because he trusted God, because he eschewed evil, because he'd done what he was supposed to do, here was a man that God, even God himself, had faith in. And he said, go ahead, go ahead. And they went through two rounds of that, one time to touch his possessions, one time to touch him, and there he sat in sackcloth and ashes with balls from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet and sitting there in all that condition. And the Bible said that Job, with his mouth, did not falsely accuse God. He said, naked I come into this world, naked I'm going to leave, and while I'm here, I'm going to bless the name of God. He said, though that the skin worms eat my flesh. He said, in this same flesh right here, he said, I know my Redeemer liveth in the last days, going to stand upon the face of this earth. And he said, I know that I'm going to see my Redeemer. Job made proclamation after proclamation. He even said, though thou slay me, yet will I trust you. He lived up to God, what God expected in him. His friends come from every side. Even his wife said, Job, you've lost your integrity. Why don't you curse God and die? But in all this, Job sinned not. The Bible said he was a perfect man before God. He eschewed evil. And God gave him back what had been restored. He restored back to him what had been taken. God is the giver. Satan is the thief. But God controls it all. God can restore what is taken from you. What Satan tries to destroy, God can multiply. And I've watched God turn some of the awful nightmares into miracles, into blessings. I've watched him turn disasters into miracles. I've watched him in the low times and the hard battles. For he said, it was in the midst of the valley that he restoreth my soul. When the battle's at the fiercest, that's when God's the strongest. God will fight your battle. God will win the war for you. God will give you the strength and the power to overcome. You just got to go in his name. But he reminds us again down in the latter verses of that 16th chapter and in verse 25. He reminds us again. And I have found that things that God tells us and repeats it, he means it and he wants us to hear it. Verse 25, he said, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And God talks about how that a man, when he's, you know, he's reproved and he's instructed. And God, you know, God will come to us and he will instruct us. God is a long-suffering God. God will, he will rebuke us if it takes. He will chastise us. He will do that which he needs to do to get our attention. And sometimes God can take the closest things to you to get your attention, but God will get your attention. On over in the closing chapters of Proverbs, says in chapter 29, he that being often reproved harden his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Now, There's a lot of understanding between the first verses and the last verse. God will work with a man. God will deal with a man. The Holy Ghost will wool that person, draw them, convict them, chastise them. The Holy Ghost will do all these things, giving that person the opportunity and giving that person latitude, as far space as they need to come into that understanding. But he said, now after they have been often reproved, and he hardened his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked breath rule, the people mourn. How true that verse is. But we here today, we have before us the privilege to serve God. Those that listen to me, you have the privilege to serve God. God will not make me serve Him. He will not make you serve Him. But He plainly, and you know, I've been accused through my ministry, Brother Goad, you're a hard preacher. And I'm going to tell you something. What's missing in the world right now is the salt. The Bible says that salt has lost its ability to season. It's fit for nothing to be thrown to the dunghills. A lot of preachers literally need to be thrown to the dunghills because they've lost their salt. They have no ability to season. So many preachers preach only to get a pat on the back or only to be liked. We better preach because God called us. We better preach because God has anointed us. And we better preach and tell the truth. But I hear God saying to me, warn those that are listening in the sound of your voices or their ears that may hear this message. You have the right to choose today, but make sure you choose the right way. Make sure you choose the Lord. I've got some kinfolk folks that's, Muslims. And I told one of the young men, and I said, hear this and hear this plain. You can confess anything you want to. You can claim anything you want to. You can do anything you want to. But when it's all over, make sure that you have chosen Jesus Christ as the Lord and Shepherd and soul as saved by His shed blood. If you don't, you're going to spend eternity in hell. It rattled him. I know he was raised a Muslim, and he was a Muslim. And he married into some of my nieces. And they have literally become brainwashed to it. And they're oblivious. It goes over their head. But it rattled his window shade. I said, absolutely. There is no other way. Jesus Christ is the way. Brother Steve Warren was telling me this week in a conversation of how that someone had told him that, you know, he thought that, you know, we ought to accept all these other, kind of like our president says, we accept all these other religions. Our president says America's no longer a Christian nation. He needs to be court-martialed. That's the bottom line. But he said we're no longer a Christian nation, and sort of that's what this man was presenting to Brother Steve Warren. And Steve said it kind of fired him up a little bit. So he just said it. He was in one of the meetings or something, in one of the singing conventions or something, but he said they kind of frowned on him, but he just said it the way it was. He went down through the list of all the different leaders that's supposed to be gods. And he said every one of them is dead, buried in their tomb, corpse, bone, flesh, went back to dust. They're there. Not a one of them was able to raise. Not a one of them was able to get up. He said, so shall the Son of God be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. But on that third day, on that resurrection morning, all of hell, all of death, all the demons, all the flames, all of hell, could all the gates of the hell and the enemy could not possess him. And God plainly says, he said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not possess it. The gates of hell. We've got the keys. We've got the authority. We've got the power. And we've got the only religion in the world that has that power. It's never been a match for Satan's never been a match for God. Mount Carmel, the fire came down. They executed the prophets, the groves, and those set at Jezebel's table. I'm going to tell you something. Church ain't like it was in that day. In that day, buddy, you rise up against God, God took you out and slayed you. Wouldn't it be something if it was that way today? If God gave you an opportunity to choose God, and if you didn't choose God, he just took you out and got rid of you. But God made a vow. He's going to set before you the bright and shining way. He's going to give you opportunity to find it. He's going to deal with you. He's going to do whatever. And he's going to give you the opportunity. Until the trumpet sounds so loud it's going to wake the dead. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. We are alive and remain will be caught up to be with the Lord. And so shall we ever dwell with him. See, the Spirit is what's going to bear the witness. And the Spirit's what's going to resurrect you. Which side you on? Have you found the way? If you've not, you need to find it today. Lord, in Jesus' name, thank you for the way of righteousness and truth and holiness. God, we thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. God, we ask you, Lord, to minister to our spirits. Reach the lost, save the lost, reclaim the backslider. Heal, deliver, set free by the power of God is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God love you and God bless you.